Hi, my name's Linda and I'm an alcoholic. Nikki was lucky. She took the easy way out tonight. I was going to bail too, but I didn't. I still got some Macarena left in me from last night. Anyway, I did have a good time last night at the New Year's Eve dance. It was really wonderful, and I'm very grateful that I'm able to do something like that now without drinking and have probably a lot more fun than I did when I was drunk. I grew up in Painesville, Ohio. And my family in Painesville, Ohio was very poor. Both my parents were alcoholics and addicts. I'm the oldest of three. My other two brothers were also alcoholics and addicts. I was the last one to get sober and stay sober out of the three of us. My younger brother, Jimmy, is dead from the disease. Growing up in my home in Painesville, Ohio, was completely demoralizing and incomprehensible. We were physically, mentally, sexually, spiritually abused throughout my childhood, all of us. And the sad thing about that was we thought that was totally normal. You know, everybody did that. You know, you did something bad, you got punished. Everybody's family acted like that. And it was not till I got older, like in junior high, when you got out into the world a little bit and started seeing how other people behaved and acted. It was very strange to me. And then I decided that, you know, we were the abnormal people. And I hid behind the shame and the guilt, mostly the shame, just being totally ashamed all those years. And you were easy bait for the other kids to pick on, too. So that went with the territory. As I got older, I wanted to be different. I didn't want to be a part of that family. I tried to distance myself from them. I tried to pretend that they weren't my family. When I started dating when I was 15, and that's the first time I got drunk, and I drank till I puked, and I had fun. It was great fun. I got out of that shame, that guilt, for an evening, and it was great. That was the way I felt normal people were. All the cool kids in school, that's what they did. I wanted to fit in. I got married when I was 18 years old. I left home because that was my way out. So I married young. We partied because we were still kids. We weren't grown up. I had one son when I was 22 years old. And I continued drinking and partying. My husband at the time, his father had passed away of alcoholism. And I didn't want to end up dependent on any. I wanted to make my own way in life. So I decided that I was going to work. So I went to interview for an internship as an artist in downtown Cleveland. And I did get hired for that position, but, of course, that came along with favors. And I did the favors, you know, in order to keep my job. And that was very bothersome because that's when my drinking escalated because I had to hide that. But I also wanted that for a career. So you were kind of torn between you knew what was wrong versus what you wanted to do. So the drinking escalated after 5 years, 6 years, and got to the point where I left that job because I couldn't live with that guilt anymore. So my mother had passed away in 1980. She was 55 years old and died of alcohol-related causes. When she died, the family died, basically. family went to hell. I started drinking very, very, just horribly. 2 years later, my father died. I was very thankful when he left, because the mantra in our house growing up was, you're no goddamn good and you never will be any goddamn good. So when he died, that was I thought the end of my burdens, and you know, everything would be okay. Well, it really wasn't okay. And when everything was settled and done with his death, my younger brother Jimmy, we were the best of drinking buddies. And Jimmy decided with his part of the will money that he was gonna take a vacation in California, and he had gone out and he called me and said, hey, he goes, you need a vacation. You need to come to California. So I thought, oh, fine. And my son was about 4 years old. And I thought Linda will go for vacation for about a week. Well, Linda went on a vacation and didn't come home for 4 months. Linda stayed in San Diego and drank. And this was in 1985. Stayed and drank in San Diego, had fun, did drugs, totally irresponsible. At that time, when I was out there, I could have cared less that I had a son and a husband at home. I didn't care. I stayed out here and I had fun. I worked my way sort of back to Ohio via Dallas. I wound up in Dallas working a job in an art studio. And then I decided that it was high time I go home, because it was getting toward holiday time. So it was about October, and I was drinking in Texas. I was drunk all the time then. And I had this, like, 65 Buick and $40. And I was going to drive that 65 Buick every time it came to a stop sign. And you stop, the linkage would fall out, and I'd have to get out and open the hood and put the linkage back where it belonged, and then I could go on my way. $40 to 64 Buick, a whole bunch of empty beer cans in the back, and I started out on the interstate there. And the next thing I knew, I remember I stopped for a cheeseburger somewhere, and I got that, and I ate it, and then I got in the car, and somebody was pounding on the side of my window. And it was a policeman, and I looked at him, and I said, what do you want? And he said, well, I'm arresting you. And I said, what for? And he goes, well, you're going 10 miles an hour on the interstate. And I said, well, where am I? And he said, you're in Texarkana, Texas. And I thought, oh, my God. And I got taken to jail that night. I spent a week there, and I got bailed out by my husband. I took the bus back to Ohio. And then that was in October. In November, I was in rehab in Ohio. I went for 30 days treatment in Ohio and got sober. That was in 1986. In August 87, my husband and my son and I moved to California. First mistake. No big changes within your first year. But I could handle it, right? So we moved to California, and things got busy. We needed to find work. So we found work, and I had put my AA on the back burner because we needed to find work. So a couple years later, I started getting back into the program, and I lived in North County at the time. And I started getting into trouble there, only I was sober, in theory. There was a man there, and he talked to me at Community Sobering Services in Escondido. It was I don't know if they still operate that. It was a service, the Escondido police, with the drunken publics. The guys would pick them up and then bring them to sobering services, and we would sit and watch them till the next day, because it saved the police time and money, so they didn't have to go back and forth to Vista Jail. So anyway, I met a man there, and he talked to me, and he was very nice, and I fell in love. And I married, and I'm thinking, and I'm sober. And I thought, I didn't know what to do about this. So I thought, well, I can't be true to my husband. I can't lie to him. So I had to tell him what was going on. I told him what was going on. And I said, so I'm going to divorce you. So because I could, really, yeah, because you know, I didn't have feelings for him anymore, and I just couldn't, another thing, I couldn't live with the guilt, couldn't live with the shame. So we wound up getting divorced, and that was the second time I abandoned my son. After a few years of living with this person, he turned out, he was a recovering meth addict, and he went back to using, and I didn't know what people on meth acted like until my son informed me that you don't eat jars of peanut butter and keep losing weight, Ma. And I thought, oh, yeah, that might be, that you might have something there. So anyways, it dawned on me that I needed to get out of that relationship. So I moved and I came down here to San Diego to live by myself. In 1998, I was dating a person and he passed away. And that was a good reason for me to start drinking. I had not had a drink up until that point. However, I was not sober. That period of time from when I got sober in Ohio to that period in 1998 was a dry drunk. That dry drunk, for what I was worth mentally and in my relationships with everyone else, I should have been drinking. Not should have, but I might as well have been. It was that bad. And the insidious thing about the dry drunk is you don't realize you're in it. Your attitude, everything you do is the same thing I did, was the attitude, the same behavior when I was drinking. And I didn't get it. My son would tell me, you're on a dry drunk. And I'd go, what the hell do you know about this disease? Well, I looked it up on the internet, and I know you're on a dry drunk. And I didn't like to hear that from him. So in 1999, I went out, and I stayed out for 7 years. My sobriety date is May 1st, 2007. Everything they told me in the program regarding don't make any important decision or moves your first year, go to meetings, get a sponsor, read the books, call people, all of it. I didn't do those things, and that's what happened. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. When it takes over a period of time, I had time to adjust to being in that behavior of dry drunk. It's a very baffling condition. It's just horrid. I didn't quite get sober. My sobriety date is May 1st. 2007, but my first attempt at getting sober out here was April 15th, 2007. I went to Mesa Vista because I was falling down drunk. I was a fall-down wino. I drank alone in my room 24/7 every day. I went in there and I knew I had a problem. But once I got in there, there were a few people in there at the time that made it kind of fun. And we would just sit in group or, you know, at the meetings, laugh and make fun of people and so on and so forth. I thought it was kind of like a great vacation. Is that the bell? Oh, shoot. Well, anyways, I got sober through a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I'm very grateful that the newcomers are here. I never understood what it meant when the most important person in the room is the newcomer. And the reason for that is you keep us fresh. You keep it green in me. Thanks a lot. And Happy New Year.